Blog Talk Radio.
Well, once again, we are practicing for the premiere show that starts in September. I am MUFON Ron. You are joining us in the center of the universe. If you don't believe me, Google it, Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's the center of the universe. And joining me tonight, once again, is my good friend, Blue Shift. Tonight, Blue Shift will be talking about the media, video games, Steven Spielberg, Wreck-It Ralph, 2001, A Space Odyssey, and much more. So, live from the center of the universe, sit back, pour yourself a cold drink, and listen to our good friend, Blue Shift. Blue Shift, what's going on tonight, sir?
This is a topic that I was never really sure about, but I really am enthusiastic about it, as just about everyone else should be, because we are talking about popular culture and all the really crazy things that popular culture portrays and the truth that they're portraying, but in a fantastic movie-like manner. And that's really just, you know, it makes me laugh when I say that, because it's, you know, life is like a movie. You know, we are like living in a movie, and there's been a number of individuals that have talked about it, and we'll go to opposite ends of the spectrum here. First, there's David Icke, you know, talking about how we are, the universe is like a computer simulation, and then there's also you got Morgan Freeman in Through the Wormhole, in a very scientific as opposed to David Icke's metaphysical look at it, also kind of saying the same thing, you know, how reality is so much more infinitely complex than we could ever possibly imagine based on our current accepted understanding of how things work. And both of them are right, and it's kind of a blend between the two. If you can just go with me for a minute, or two, we'll take a look at what Hollywood, and the movie industry and television industries are all trying to show us. What they are trying to show us is bits and pieces at a time for various different reasons, various different agendas, fantastic opinion of what is going on. Now, different people have different experiences and different levels of, of knowledge, maybe thinking in most cases when they try to put together a really good show or a good movie or a good entertainment segment, they try to sensationalize what they think is exactly going on in the most fantastic manner possible, and put all their energy and effort into producing the movie of planet Earth. And it may be partially correct, but in most cases they're not going to be able to tell you the whole story, because the whole story is too huge, it's too immense, it's too big to fit into a show or a movie. I don't think it can be done. And some of the shows that I'd like to point out that are going on are, we'll start with an old one. I just recently saw this. I think maybe about a week ago I finally finished it. It wasn't too interesting to me until I guess when I was done with it. And I just kind of started thinking back about some other things and going into, listening to some of the new interviews that are floating around the YouTube. And the movie I saw was 2001, A Space Odyssey. And it came out in 1968. That's an old movie.
Yeah.
Okay. you know, I'm only 26 years old. And, you know, so this thing was way before I was ever, you know, I was ever alive. And
I think people probably remember the music more than they do the movie.
It did have a fantastic score. I did notice that about it.
Absolutely.
And
But anyway, in
2001, A Space Odyssey, they got there's this thing called HAL, the computer, and I have to say, you know, in a certain truth about it, you know, it's portraying something that is actually real. But let's just say that HAL isn't the computer. Let's say HAL is a simulation. And then you can look at the movie from that point of view and then look at things and how they portray reality now. That is just and it's just kind of it kind of is a shocker. But then let's say we're looking at HAL as the you know, artificial intelligence, and what could it do, like, I don't know, like Terminator, Rise of the Machines, or something like that, or the Terminator series, you know, an AI takes over, and then controls everybody and tries to exterminate everyone, you know.
Yeah.
You could look at it from that point of view, and that could also be true. Just
well, I read today where they're putting robot astronauts into space. That's interesting.
Yeah. I did mention I did catch a glimpse of that. It was a Japanese robot or something like that going to the ISS,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that wasn't a good idea, you know, based on the movie 2001: A Space Odyssey. You don't want it integrating with the system, you know what I'm saying?
But kind of in line with what you're saying as far as artificial intelligence in space making decisions, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they probably should have done that, but then again, you know, hey, it's just a silly robot, right? Yeah, what harm could it be? It's just going to keep him company, like HAL.
Exactly.
But I don't think this robot's going to open the pod bay doors either. I'm just saying. Right. Let's look. I had a couple different you know, movies here that I wanted to talk about.
Keep in mind, folks, this is just a sample of many things that we'll be discussing. If anybody's listening, we appreciate it. We don't expect anybody to be listening, but we're glad that you are. The show does premiere in September. Some things we're working on right now is different things within the studio, sound bites and things of that nature. And the other thing is transitions and things like that. We have talked about Space Odyssey. You also want to talk about maybe video games or Steven Spielberg or Wreck-It Ralph. Where are you headed now?
We'll
talk about the moon.
Okay. We'll get to the moon towards the end. You know, be sure to remind me, so
okay.
We don't run out of time. We'll talk about video games. Instead of video games, and we'll move into another movie regarding that. Let's talk about computer programmers. What do computer programmers know that we don't know? That is a really good question, and that everyone should be asking themselves. What do computer programmers know that are hardcore, have been at it for a little while? And about computer programming, you know, assuming that David Icke was partially right, or Morgan Freeman and Through the Wormhole was partially right. What do computer programmers know? What do they really know about existence that you don't, that you just take for granted or accept because someone told you that this is the way it was? How do you really know that that's true if you haven't talked to a computer programmer? Because they're creating a new reality every time they flip the switch on their computer. I personally haven't done it, but I've been watching people do it over the years and get progressively better at it, and they change their demeanor, their behavior changes, towards other people once they start doing that.
We need to book one for the show. That'd be good.
That's probably not a bad idea. But there's also this new thing that everyone can participate in called Minecraft, where everyone can flex their creative ability, their right side of their brain, and data is being collected on this to see what people come up with, see if their to see how people think, their creative talents, how they work, and basically their creative level of ability.
Is this a website they can go to, or what are you talking about in particular?
Minecraft was originally a PC game, but they also released it for Xbox and I think PlayStation 3. I'm not sure exactly, but
okay.
I've noticed that they really put a lot of effort into marketing that game in particular.
I see what you're saying now.
And making it as easy as possible just to see how creative and how many people jumped on board with creating something new. And that is something really, really important that people need to do is create something new. Like we created this radio show together as like co-creators.
Right, true.
And this is something new that we created. And it should be... and the creators of this show put a lot of energy and a lot of effort into producing something that we are proud of, and so the quality of it.
Kyle, think of all talk about video games. Think of all the time and effort that's been spent on people playing video games that may move into operating drones someday. Well, that's, what a transition, right?
Exactly.
All of this practice, fly drones everywhere. Think of all these kids now. They can step in and it's just going to be, that could actually be the reality of what you're saying, video games actually replacing and being reality, right?
Exactly, a virtual reality. But then again, I think personally that the reality that we're living in is a virtual reality anyway, and then a virtual reality has been placed over that in which we have all these rules that we add on to already physically existing.
Think of all these rated games and all the blood and guts, and all the kids think, it's fake, and later if they're flying drones, they kill people, they think, well, I didn't know them. They were miles away, and they're so disconnected that none of that means anything.
Yeah, it's, from one point of view, that looks pretty terrible. From another point of view, they're doing what you're not willing to do. So, consider that. You look at it as a terrible thing that they're doing, but then again,
I'm not looking at it either way. I'm just saying that's one way to look at it.
Right. And what I'm saying is that, looking at the same thing, as it's a terrible thing that they did, right, that they operated a drone, they killed people far away, and then they just didn't care, right? But then again, also look at that. They just didn't care. They are willing to do something that you are not. And you need to reevaluate yourself from that standpoint. They are willing to do that. What are you willing to do? Or are you just going to give in and accept that?
I'm just going to stick with trying to do this little radio show to put out information. I think that's what I'm willing to do.
Exactly. And that's the creator's choice. The creator can choose to do whatever they want to do. And that's spirit. Right. For you too. The spirit can do whatever it wants, right or wrong, good or bad, yin or yang. Those creators that create things, the video games or the systems to play out a virtual reality which can actually kill you with a drone or whatever.
I didn't mean But go back to the Minecraft. You were saying, what would it do?
Well, Minecraft will stretch your creative ability, and it'll also give people information on how creative you actually are. You know, just using blocks and cubes. Going with the video game concept and stuff, let's move into the movies again, because that's really what I wanted to talk about, and particularly one specific movie, Wreck-It Ralph, Disney, 2012, or 2013, in the very, very beginning of it. The movie Wreck-It Ralph is a Disney movie, and what's Disney's thing? It's about imagination. That's their thing, right? A creation.
Right.
Creation of something exotic and new. Stretching your imagination is what they do. But in recent years, there has been a massive restructuring and a constant restructuring ever since the beginning of Disney. Disney movies. And a lot of people have all these conspiracy theories about Disney. Okay, whatever. Look at Wreck-It Ralph. That right there takes the cake, people. It tells you exactly what's going on. It tells you exactly how it's going down and how it did go down and how it is going to go down. Because they know something you don't. And what they know is all the things that are portrayed in that movie.
What's it about?
It's about what's going on in our reality now, and it is aimed, and this is something that people need to really look at very carefully. It is aimed at ages, at children ages 4 to 9, okay? 4 to 9. It is aimed at children, okay? But an adult can watch that movie, and they can see something completely different. But subconsciously, the representations that are shown in that movie are just incredible. They are archetypes. The characters are archetypes for real world groups and people. All right. Well, we'll just say groups of people, such as Wreck-It Ralph. Wreck-It Ralph represents a group of people. You could call that group a number of different, you know, people, but generally they behave in a certain way. And it also tells a story of the archetype of that group of people or groups of people. Then you have Fix-It Felix with his trusty hammer. All right, you can speculate on which groups that he represents. I think Fix-It Felix represents some of the human masons in my opinion, always fixing things. That other people or other groups have to, for some reason, destroy. You know, they always catch us when they follow those masons. Their organization is important, and they have this metaphysical responsibility to the race, the hyperdimensional race, us humans. Humans are the hyperdimensional race, and that's why I think it's really important to plug that context into this movie. We are the hyperdimensional race. We are very special in our own unique way. And no race has ever come before us. Not really. Maybe similar, but not really. Not really like us. Not going through the same things that we are going through as a collective. And then you also have the other characters in it, such as like the combat lady or whatever that came from one other video game. And then notice how they jump video games. They jump from one video game through another video game through a wormhole of sorts, just like UFOs do. You know, showing that and what that would demonstrate is like. The UFOs jump from one video game to another video game, from one reality to another reality, one frequency to another frequency, where there's different things going on in each frequency, with their own, you know, problem solutions, like Wreck-It Ralph, Fix-It Felix, the soldier lady with her bugs, you know, soldier lady bugs, and then the other games, you know, they're supposed to do something to get to the end of it. And you have, but really, I want to focus on this one particular part of that movie, which is where they point out that King Candy, one of the protagonists, literally locked up the memories of all of the people. And so nobody remembered what was really going on. And then the race has just continued doing whatever they did under the order of King Candy, okay? But then towards the end of the movie, they realize that King Candy was really Turbo from another video game or another reality or another dimension. And then Turbo was really pretending to be King Candy and had confused everybody and tricked everybody into behaving a certain way and taken away all of the memories and the powers of the all the other racers or races. And that is what was being portrayed, making the racers behave in a certain way, which is really bad. You know, I mean, in the movie, even a kid understands that was, oh, there's a crazy twist to this. But then an even crazier twist happens towards the end of the movie. The finish line disappears. And then not only does the finish line disappear, but the bug consumes King Candy, or the illusion of King Candy, and Turbo. And then it multiplies. And then it creates even bigger problems. And then, if you didn't think King Candy was bad enough locking up all the memories, then you had a virus take over that deceptive bad guy. And that is what has happened. Our leaders in our real life have been hijacked. But not just once, but twice. We have been hijacked, and we are not under the leadership that you think we are. And I think David Icke has some valid points, but I think he's pointing the finger at maybe the wrong group, or maybe one of the groups, and not discerning that there are similar ones to them that aren't necessarily the problem. I think that that's what's going on. And I think that this movie, Wreck-It Ralph, a children's movie, is conditioning the population to understand what is going on. I think that we are being attacked through the media by certain hermetic or secret society groups that want to tell us the truth, or maybe even the government, that want to tell us what's going on, but they can't tell us all at once. Or it'll create total chaos, total anarchy. The system will fail, and then Obama in his little speech, I refer you to the State of the Union address when he was talking about, you know, the red pill or the blue pill, why, you know, if we can just give him the blue pill, I mean the red pill, and the red pill is half the price of the blue pill, what's half the price of what? Half the price of what is what you need to be asking. What is he talking about when he says half the price? Because this is some really crazy, revelistic, you know, I can't think of the word right now, but it's like a revelation, and I don't think people can handle the truth, having a pretty good idea of what's going on myself, and I'm kind of at a crossroads myself, and I've seen many different things from many different points of view. And heard it from many different points of view, all unaware of what was really going on with other groups or other people. And I just kind of put it all together and realized, hey, you know what, something's going on here. And it's big. It's bigger than what I thought it was. And every day, something new. And that's something you guys need to understand. Anyone who listens to this show needs to understand that there is something going on. And it is big. It is very, very big, and it's just a matter of time before it comes to a head. Or mathematically, I think the best way to describe it is critical mass. Enough people are going to become aware of what's going on, but at the same time, enough of the systems and stuff that are not complete systems that they're going to crash in more than ways than one. And people need to understand this, that these movies, they are telling you certain aspects of the story, certain viewpoints of certain events that are going on in the shadows. And it can't be ignored for too much longer. There are a bunch of movies, I'm just going to name some off, that I think that people should really take a look at. One of them is called The Nines. It came out in 2007. It has a pretty big actor in it, and it's about dimensional beings of sorts, I think. Another really big one, which most people have probably seen by now, just because it's been out so long and continually is plugged into the media. It's continually re-released, and you really need to pay attention to the fact that it's continually re-released. And I want to emphasize continually re-released, resold for a discounted price, restreamed on Netflix. This movie is Stargate from 1994, which spawned a multiple series that portray even more information that you guys need to know. And that series is Stargate SG-1, Stargate Universe, Stargate Atlantis, and also there's another one that was a children's show that they tried to move forward, but it didn't really work out too well. And I forgot what that was called, but it was a short animated version of the Stargate SG-1 missions. They were trying to market it towards kids. It just didn't work. So they decided to do something else, other shows.
What's the important message you take down all of those, Kyle?
The message you get out of them?
Yeah.
There's too many. There's too many partial truths, too many half-truths. Stargate SG-1 episodes 100, 200, and 300 are all about a show. And that is something you guys need to understand. They're trying to tell you that they're making this show off of something that's really actually happening in the military world. And I promise you that concept, if you get it, yes. I promise you, yes. Another movie is K-Pax, 2001, about energetic beings and how they can inhabit the bodies of humans or anything else for that matter, and that's something to keep in mind. That movie was telling you something. You just kind of had to get it when you saw it. But you can reflect on it now. There's also some TV series, Shadow Ops, which is actually Project Camelot and Project Avalon's thing. And everything that they say in that pilot, which is actually based on – it was actually originally shown for one episode on True TV and unannounced. They didn't announce it. They just kind of played it in the evening just to get out of some legal things, but they did not want you all knowing that.
Hey, Kyle, we got to sign off for now. Do you want to come back again tonight at 12:30 and continue this, or are we signing off for tonight?
We definitely need to continue this. We will continue in our next interview this show.
Okay. We'll be back at 12:30. We'll be back online in 30 minutes. Thanks for listening and joining us from the Center of the Universe. MUFON Ron signing out for now. We will talk to you soon.